we present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask these four seasoned battlers of this game to try and talk for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject if they can. If one of the other three think they are guilty of doing this, they may challenge. And if I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point and take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, whoever is speaking will gain a point and continue with the subject as long as they can. That's the way we score, and that is the way that we play the game. And the audience have already started laughing because Kenneth Williams is already doing his tricks. Which is playing to the audience. The subject is, what excites me? So, can you talk on that subject? What excites me for 60 seconds, Kenneth, starting now?
Well, I think that in common with most people, I find extremely exciting the spectacle of semi-nudity as opposed to the complete thing. A small amount exposed really gets me going. The curiosity, which is the insatiable element, I think, in all of us, is tickled, if you like, aroused. And one mentally wonders, what's going on underneath, you see, even the faint...
Clement Foy, you've challenged words. What from?
You don't see.
You don't see what?
I didn't say I see. I said you wonder what's going on underneath.
You wonder what's going on underneath.
You see. Now,
it's a very clever challenge, but you see, when it comes to nudity, if you couldn't see it, or semi-nudity, you would not be able to be excited by it. Therefore, it is obviously not a legitimate challenge, because you've got to see semi-nudity to be able to be excited.
Oh, that's true, yes. Very good challenge. It's very good.
So, your colloquialism was apt in this occasion, Kenneth. I disagree with the challenge, so you gain a point and you keep the subject, and there are 23 seconds left for what excites me starting now.
Nothing more than the power of oratory, the finest speeches, words chosen with memorable precision and care, strike a reverberating chord in the memory, and one is reawakened, so to speak, renewed, so to speak.
Clement Freud, your challenge.
Repetition, he so to spoke.
He so to spoke, yes. And alas, there were only 3 seconds to go and he would have kept the subject for 60 seconds otherwise, but Clement was the first to get in. He's so clever at doing that. And you, I agree with your challenge, Clement, so you gain the point. 3 seconds left for what excites me starting now.
Kenneth Williams' knees give me...
Kenneth Williams' knees gives Clement Freud yet another point.
Oh, how completely overcome. I don't know what to say.
I wouldn't say anything, Kenneth. I'd just keep quiet. We often wonder what it was, the big bond between
you.
We've now discovered.
Nice, you know. Oh, nice.
I must explain to our listeners that Kenneth has now shown his knees to our audience here. And from their reaction, they obviously thoroughly approve. Also, I must explain to our listeners, if any of them heard a noise in the background of either a police car screaming in the distance, they weren't coming to help Kenneth Williams out. They were obviously on some other errand of mercy or emergency. The score, I must explain to those who may not know, whoever's speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. In this case, it was Clement Freud. The whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up. Andre Melle, it's your turn to begin. What to look for when buying a dog? That's what your message has thought of for you, and will you talk about it for 60 seconds starting now?
I've written it down yet.
Wait, I'm sorry, well, did you have to write it down? We'll go back to the beginning.
Terribly sorry, yes, right.
Well, you must warn me in future if you're going to write things down.
It's very long,
you
see, terribly
sorry. I think you're just playing for time so you can think about
right,
it. What do you look for when buying a dog? Andre Melle, 60 seconds starting now.
The most important thing to look for on this occasion is a dog.
You want to find an animal with four legs, two ears, a nose, a pair of eyes, some teeth, if possible, a young version of the species. And you want to be sure that you know what kind of animal it's going to grow up to when it...
Clement Freud has changed.
Repetition of animal.
That is right. She did say animal more than once. So, Clement, you gain another point. 41 seconds left for what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
It's not at all a bad idea to look at cats, parrots, ferrets.
Derek Nimmo, why do you challenge?
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. No. Almost, but not quite, no. So Clement has another point. 36 seconds left. What to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
And other animals, so that when you meet the dog, you are immediately able to say, you are a dog and I'm going to buy you.
Derek Nimmo's challenge, twice.
On the card.
I'm sorry. It was a great mistake.
Why?
Well, I was challenging wrongly on dog.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Well, there we are. Yes, you're being too keen. All that happens is Clement has another point, and there are 29 seconds left for what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
Perusing carefully will show you the gender of the beast in question. Turning it upside down.
Kenneth Williams.
Oh, I haven't come here to listen to a load of you. But you can be entertained. Looking between people's legs.
I kind of agree, Kenneth. I don't think it's necessary what to look for when buying a dog. I don't think
you
need to
look... Of course not. It's not necessary. The dog is... We all know the dog is the dog. If he's saying about dogs
no,
and bitches...
No, Kenneth, let me say, if it was a bitch...
Oh, yes.
It's looking when you're looking for kind of dog.
Well, if it was a Yorkshire Terrier, wouldn't say anything anyway, would you?
What to look for when buying a dog...
So you wouldn't establish the gender, you say?
No, that's right. No, there
you've
we are.
You've got
to establish the gender. In other words, you might get a bitch. That's what you're going to say. Well, all right. I will still score no points because I think it was a debatable point. But I leave the subject with Clement Freud, who has 18 seconds to continue with what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
Bright of eye, wet of nose, and savage of tooth is really what the ideal dog should be. He growls at strangers and licks friends. He mouths, barks.
Well, Clement Freud just managed to keep going until the whistle went, so he gains that extra point for speaking on the whistle, and as the challenges were debatable, he got no points for the challenges. I want to make that quite clear, but he still has a commanding lead at the end of that round, and he continues talking because it's your turn, Clement. The subject is pulling a cork. Can you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
That's absolutely disgusting. How can you talk about it? You grip it in your hand, and you establish whether it's a hen or a cock, and then pluck it carefully.
Oh, Derek Nimmo, you challenged. Why?
Well, he's not talking about pulling a cork. He's about pulling a cock.
It's and never been said.
That is what I said, pulling a cork.
You could have fooled me, is all I can say.
All right. But Clement Freud, you did not fool us. So I'm going to give it to Derek Nimmo.
He has
a point.
We'll have to start all over again.
No,
that's terrible, is it?
Derek Nimmo has rescued us.
Goodness knows what old maid is in the Falkland Islands. There'll be a lot of knitting stitches dropped out.
I refuse to believe that my diction is so bad. Derek Nimmo is going to take over the subject. There are 48 seconds left for pulling a cork. Starting now.
When you go fishing, it's very advisable to throw a cork into the water so you can see whereabouts the line is following your boat. Now, if you do not do this, the string goes right down and you don't see it again. Sometimes, of course, you can pull one out of a bottle, and my great-grandmother bequeathed onto me the most splendid corkscrew. It has worked on a trellis device and patented, I might say, in the last century. It fits snugly on top of the bottle, and with a great swish, out it comes, and perhaps with a as well. That makes it particularly nice when you drink your wine, which could be Muscadet, or perhaps some Merceau, or perhaps...
André Melly, you challenge.
A hesitation.
Yes, he was searching for another wine, and it's very difficult when you're having to keep going. So, André, I agree with your challenge. You take over the subject of pulling a cork, and there are 13 seconds left, starting now.
There are a great deal of new scientific ways of doing this these days. Some of them are to do with air pellets.
Derek Nimmer, why have you chosen?
That's not pulling a cork.
No,
that's air pressure which goes in.
Yes, that is not pulling a cork. You see, pulling a cork. No, no, it's the pressure behind that shoots the cork out. You see, transatlantic. So you were deviating, and Derek gets the subject back, and there are 6 seconds left for pulling a cork starting.
Now, I tied a piece of string on the end of the cork, and I walked round Trafalgar Square.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
String.
String, yes.
Absolutely,
you had
right.
String.
Jolly good. Well, listen, Ken.
So, Kenneth, you've gained the subject and a point, and there are 4.5 seconds left for pulling a cork starting now.
Well, it's always best to leave this sort of thing to waiters. They do it far better than I do it, and I always do.
Kenneth, will you begin the next round? Patriotism. Will you talk to us about patriotism for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, that great woman, Edith Cavell, said it is not enough. She said there must be no hatred in my heart for anyone. And I think it's very, very beautiful. On the other hand...
Derek Nimmer, why have you chanted?
Repetition of very, very.
It doesn't matter.
No, it was not a repetition of very, very. It was a repetition of very.
Very, very beautiful. Oh, well, I mean repetition of very. Yeah, well,
yes, well, all right, but it was a bit of a tough one because, after all, he was quoting and he was giving a very fine example of patriotism.
Right.
So I will charge no points. Leave the subject with Kenneth Williams. 50 seconds left. Patriotism, Kenneth, starting now.
Dr. Johnson said it was the last refuge of a scoundrel. And, of course, there is something to be said for this point of view. It has been used or abused by many people in the world. I have no time for it myself. I think much the same thing applies to any piece of land. You can't say this is peculiar because of so-and-so and so. I mean...
Derek Nimmer, you challenge.
Rather a lot of so.
Yes, yes, that time definitely repetition. So,
he
Derek.
Was nice. Yeah.
But he definitely gains a point that time, and there are 19 seconds left for patriotism, Derek, starting
I'm
now.
I'm deeply ashamed of Kenneth Williams' view on patriotism. Red, white, and blue, what does it mean to you? Sure you're proud, shout it aloud. Let it be known.
Deviation, he's doing a song now. He's not necessarily.
He is doing a very patriotic song, so he is still on the subject of patriotism. Therefore, I disagree with the challenge. Therefore,
oh, well, in that case, we could all start quoting reams of
songs. You were quoting someone...
Dr. Stage. Johnson, Edith Cavell.
Ah, that's different with me, because I do it beautiful.
Others would do it beautifully, but you do it beautiful. Anyway, Derek has a point, and there are 8.5 seconds left, Derek, for patriotism, starting now.
Down I go to Dover with my Union Jack, and I stand on the cliffs. What ho, I say! I'm an Englishman and proud of it! Come on, you...
Why is he walking along like that, Nick, and sticking his behind out?
This is one of those moments when we wish this was television and not radio, because Derek Nimmer was giving an impersonation of Kenneth Williams arriving at the beginning of the show. Walking.
Well, it's a disgrace, because you shouldn't mock infirmity.
You've mocked his impediment before now, his stutter.
Oh, I thought it was a pediment. I'm sorry.
No, that's on his foot. Right, the subject is Derek Nimmer to start. Yeah. Clock chimes. All right, Derek. 60 seconds on that subject, if you can, starting now.
I once knew a man who sat outside a big building to listen to the chimes. That's not real.
Someone's challenged.
Yes, he mistook it. He thought he'd said it twice and he hasn't got it.
Yeah, but if he... No. If he challenges, if he can't justify his challenge...
Who challenged?
Well, somebody pressed the buzzer. But no light came on, I'm afraid.
I see.
Oh, wasn't me.
Now...
Okay, lock the doors. Nobody leave the house.
I'm going to put you all on your honour. You've all been very honourable up to now. Who pressed that buzzer? There we are. So, it was an incorrect challenge. So, Derek Nimmer gets another point.
You're very buoyant tonight, aren't you?
I'm all revved up, like a clock chimer. So, there are 51 seconds left for you, Derek, on clock chimes starting now.
I must say, I love the sound of a jolly old clock chime, don't you? Ding, dang, dong, dong. Ding, bang, bong, bung. No more enjoyable noise.
Clever Freud challenge you.
Repetition.
Of what?
More and more.
That is quite correct. Yes, I wanted to hear. You might have said ding or bung.
You said more and more.
having got clever around your dings, dongs and bungs and bangs and all that, you then were so carried away you said more and more, and Clement spotted it. I agree with your challenge, Clement. You get another point. 41 seconds left for clock chime starting now.
One of the most famous clocks is called Big Ben, and it chimes on the hour and...
Derek, never wife you challenged.
Well, the clock is not called Big Ben.
That is perfectly correct. The bell is Big Ben. Well done, Derek. So that was deviation.
Well, what is it then that's called Big Ben? The bell.
The bell.
Well, the bell belongs to the clock, so when he says Big Ben...
He said the clock chimes. Big Ben chimes. The bell.
Well, what else is it that does...
What did you say then?
One of those famous clocks is called...
Yeah, well, if the clock is called Big Ben, it's the clock that does do the chiming, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Well, he's still right. Of course he is. The clock is the thing
that... Oh, well, all right, if you're going to start arguing, let the audience judge. They haven't judged yet. Do you agree with Derek Nimmo's challenge? If you do, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? Will you all do it together now? There's no doubt about it. Derek Nimmo has a point. And there are 34 seconds left for clock chimes, Derek, starting now.
Tompion made some of the finest clocks in this country, and all of them have the most wonderful chimes fitted within them. Some can be seen in the Victoria and Albert Museum. If you go into their long gallery on the second floor, there you will see a wonderful burr walnut case clock, which is absolutely magnificent. One of the finest examples of craftsmanship, I think, in this country. Oranges and lemons, said the bells of King Clement. And that is a pretty little...
Kenneth Williams, why did you challenge?
Why, hesitation. So the bell can claim.
If you had a deviation, because Orange's Lemon said by the bells of St. Clements, yes.
No, you started when you were speaking, didn't
you? Well, all right. It was also hesitation, I see. Yes, I quite agree. Yes, I quite agree. So, Kenneth, you have a point, and you have 8 seconds left for clock chimes starting now.
Not that I really want them. I regard them as the most dreadful sounds ever to come upon my ear. They don't float or it like the sweet sounds that we...
Well, Kenneth Williams was speaking then when the whistle went, and he's now jumped into third place. And Kenneth Williams is in third place, Andre's just behind in fourth. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin again. The subject is the invention I most approve. Can you talk about that invention for 60 seconds, starting now?
The invention of which I most approve is the wheel, and a very fascinating invention it was, because first of all they thought, let's make it a triangle. And they rolled this down a hill and found...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
Deviation. It's impossible to roll a triangle.
Now, you can only roll something that is round. You can make it turn from point to point, but that is not rolling.
This is how they got the wheel.
It's how they got the wheel, but they didn't roll a triangle. They moved a triangle from point to point. Precisely. I decide that rolling is not a thing you can do with a triangle, so it must be a smooth surface to roll. Therefore, Kenneth has a point, and he takes over the subject with 47 and a half seconds left, starting now. The subject, by the way, the invention I most approve, starting now.
Well, of course, there's no question about it. It is Kenneth Williams. This invention has delighted thousands of people who would, without it, have been totally bereft. People say to me, without you, where would my nights be?
Clement.
My evenings, totally empty.
Clement.
You fill the spaces.
Clement Freud challenged you. We were just loving
it. We
had
two peoples.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
And without
two peoples, people have
said. Oh, thanks, deviation, because I'm not an invention. I'm a natural product. So you could
have I know, but.
I don't know how any of you let it all go on for so long?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you.
I'm a natural product.
Kenneth,
I issue. You see, I issue.
Quiet for a minute. I'll tell you exactly why they let it go on.
Why?
Because you made such a point about your fascination.
They were, yes,
they really
true.
Felt they should give you a chance to go.
Yes.
On your
feet.
And they did.
I let it go because his mum's sitting in the front row and nodding.
And I must. If this was television, the producer would now have whipped a camera onto her at this particular moment to show that she was thoroughly embarrassed about what her son was saying at this moment. Anyway, the subject is the invention I most approve. It's back with Clement Freud, who's getting another point, and there are 33 seconds left, starting now.
So then they tried with a square, pushing it along an incline, and not very fast did it move downwards. So...
Derek, why did you challenge?
Hesitation.
Not quite. He was coming towards that moment of hesitation, but didn't quite achieve it. So Clement has another point. There are 23 seconds for the invention I most approve, starting now.
So they trimmed off the edges, put on a hubcap, invented spokes, and there was the wheel rolled.
Derek Nimmer's challenge, why?
Repetition of invented.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you've had invented more than once. Derek, you have a point. You take over the subject of the invention I most approve. 17 seconds left, starting now.
The invention of which I most approve is the single yellow line. I find it absolutely fascinating when I go out of my house in the morning and there I see a great long slip of yellow net.
He couldn't get away from it, could he? Clement, you challenge first.
Repetition.
Of what?
Yellow.
Yes, that is correct,
yellow.
Yes. So, you said yellow more than once, Derek. Clement, you get another point. 3 seconds left for the invention I most approve, starting now.
A circle came later.
At the end of that round, Clement Freud again increased his lead over Derek Nimmer, who increased his lead a little over Kenneth Williams, and Kenneth increased it a little over Andre Melle, and in that order, they are still at the end of that round. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin again. I pause because I wasn't quite sure what it's in as thought of you. It is the snark.
Who?
Can you talk about the snark for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I believe this is an imaginary animal. It occurs in the title, The Hunting of the Snark, and I understand it was written by someone called Dodgson or Lewis Carroll, as he was styled, for the purpose of authorship, and this whole thing had its beginning in the idea of diverting the young. It certainly never succeeded with me. I infinitely prefer Gibbon or John Motley to this muck. But I believe with many people it has achieved a kind of popularity. The explanation...
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Repetition of achieved. Never achieved it.
Yes, yes, he did achieve.
Yes,
clever of you. Yes, he's very much alive. And Derek has another point. And there are 23 seconds left for the snark.
Well, it's always fascinating, I think, to think of Mr. Dodgson in his Oxford college, leaning out of the window, looking at little girls going across the grass, and all the time he's thinking of his snark.
Now, Derek, Clement Freud challenge, why?
Deviation.
Why?
Certainly deviation is a disgusting...
There were no little girls in Oxford colleges.
That's
in
where
which...
He could well have seen one out of term time. You were allowed to take visitors into the colleges
out
of term. That's
where he met Alice, you see, actually, in one day.
I don't think he saw a snark. He might have seen a beaver.
Really, Alice is at it again, Alice.
No, you can't justify Clement. Derek Nimmer has a point, and there are 15 seconds left for him to continue with the snark, Derek, starting now.
I bought a new boat last week, and I'm going to call it the Snark. I think it's an awfully appropriate name for a catamaran, don't you? Because a catamaran has...
Ah, Andre Melle got in that time.
Repetition catamaran.
That is right, and there are 8 seconds left for the Snark, Andre, starting now.
This poem, which tells you how to hunt a Snark...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
It's not a poem.
What is it, then?
Prose.
It's not. It's poetry.
Oh, well, I've never read it. I always understood it was prose.
No, it's definitely poetry. It rhymes, you know, with a tum-ti-tum very much.
Oh, well, that's not poetry either, then. That's doggerel. He wasn't a poet.
Well tried. They do try hard, don't they?
No, it's certainly not poetry. It's doggerel. Doggerel, unquestionably.
Some people think it's great fun and very good poetry. And Andre Melle has a point, and she continues
to snark. He's not even listed in the Book of English Literature, this man. It's rubbish. It's all rubbish.
Kenneth Williams, you cannot get round me. Andre Melle has a point. There are 5 seconds left for the snark, Andre, starting now.
It is difficult to understand, because in a way it is a form of rubbish writing. And when you want to go and...
I'm afraid that is all we have time for. I see that it is time to call a halt to this particular edition of Just a Minute. So let me give you the final score. Reading backwards, as I like to do, but I find it very difficult, Andre Melle and Kenneth Williams were equal in third place. They were a little way behind Derek Nimmer, who was in second place, who was behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. And from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.